Invite your attentions this morning to John chapter 11. Of course, we've been looking at the I Am statements of Jesus as recorded by the book of John. Here we have Jesus. He is on display, if you will. We open this series by showing Jesus wants to be known. And that's what the book of John does for us. It presents Jesus and it says, come and see. Come and see who I am. Come and know who I am. Come and follow me. And so far we've gotten to see Jesus as that which is necessary to life. I'm the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Both common, accessible, necessary elements of life, and how fitting it is that Jesus relates Himself as those things that is accessible and needful for spiritual life and eternal life. But also we've gotten to see Him as a compassionate Savior. He would say, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. Both ideas that present for us security. He guards His sheep, God's people. But also as a director, that He guides, that He leads. He shows us in those right ways by His Word and by His example. And also that He's a giver, willing to sacrifice His very life for the sheep that we might live. And it's fitting that we transfer from that idea of a shepherd, that He would give His life for us. He comes to John chapter 11 and to Martha, the sister of Lazarus and Mary. And He will say in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now we see the powerful Savior. The one that can give life to those that believe on Him. Martha, of course, in this chapter is struggling. She's just lost her brother Lazarus. He is dead. She's struggling with this issue of death. She's certainly in grief. And I have every belief that this statement would bring her comfort and it would bring her assurance. But it is also spoken to increase her faith. And also the faith of those that would be around her. So I want to center in on that statement this morning. I am the resurrection and the life. When I first think about that statement, I see a statement of comfort, of assurance, in spite of disappointment and defeat. You see, here are at least two people that things had not gone for them as they had wished. We can back up earlier in the chapter and we find here that Lazarus, a close companion of Jesus. Jesus knew this family well, Lazarus and his sister. They have sent news to Jesus, Lazarus is sick, verse 3. I'm going to suggest they knew the gravity of the situation. They knew that this sickness might be even unto death. And so word is sent to Jesus that He is sick. It's not necessarily within that statement any expectation of anything that He would do. But maybe, perhaps, there is hope. There is a belief, certainly we're going to see in a moment, that if He was there, there is something that you could do. And so news has reached Jesus that Lazarus is sick, but He makes the decision to tarry for a little while. I'm not going to go, not just yet. Because He says in verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He was going to wait. And later He decides to go into Bethany. He goes into Bethany even against the wishes of His disciples because they knew the Jews were seeking to put Him to death. And yet He decides to go anyway. He knows, verse 14, and tells them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But he also knows why he is going. Verse 11, I'm going to raise him from his sleep. Something the disciples didn't understand at first. When he spoke of sleep, they assumed he meant rest, which would be good for a sick man. That's when Jesus has to tell them Lazarus is dead. So he goes. It's not part of our sermon necessarily this morning, but I love the attitude of Thomas there in verse 16. He agrees to go with Jesus. You can almost hear him say, "Let us also go with him, that we may die with him." Thomas believes if Jesus returns to this area, he will be put to death. And yet, at least at this time, Thomas is willing to go. If he's going to go to his death, we might as well go ahead with him and we'll die with him as well. So he comes. We're told there in verse 17 that when Jesus has come to this area, that Lazarus is already dead. In fact, he has been in the grave for 4 days. He arrives near unto Bethany. Martha, upon hearing that Jesus is coming that way, runs out to meet him and expresses both faith but also this disappointment. Look in verse 21 and 22 of John 11. Martha said unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." There is at once within this statement a great faith. Jesus, I know that if you had been here, he would not have died. There was something that you could have done. And also a disappointment. A disappointment, for surely she wishes things had gone differently. Mary, the sister, is going to express the same sentiment, the same disappointment in verse 32. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." In fact, even some of the multitude will have the same attitude in verse 37. Surely had this man been here, Lazarus had not died. There is a faith that Jesus could have done something, and at the same time there is a disappointment at the way things had turned out. They certainly had wished it had gone differently. They wished that he had not died. Perhaps something could have been done different. Maybe if only we had sent word earlier. Maybe if only you had come quicker. Maybe if only you hadn't been away in the first place. And yet what I want us to notice, even in the face of that disappointment, one thing that Jesus is going to show us by His statement is that He is still in charge. Let us remember, He is the very Son of God. And there's going to be a reminder here that God is still in control even in the midst of disappointment. And He will tell them in verse 23, "Lazarus shall rise again." He knows their disappointment. He knows things didn't go as they had wished, and yet they needed to be reminded that He was still in charge. In fact, Jesus already knew what He was going to do. Remember, He had told His disciples, "We are going that I might wake him from his sleep." Remember, He had told them in verse 4, "This sickness is not unto death, but that the Son of Man might be glorified." I suggest to you, Jesus knew exactly what He was going to do when He got there. He was still in charge, even in the face of disappointment. I suggest to you, there are going to be a lot of things as we go through this life that we wish might have turned out differently. And there are going to be times that we face disappointments. And we're going to think, what if this had been different or that had been different? But the simple fact is, we cannot change the past. And the simple fact is, God is still in control. So we're going to trust Him. And are we going to follow after Him? Not only that, we see Jesus here, the statement of comfort in spite of defeat. Surely the sisters had done all that they could for Lazarus. Every example that we see of them here is a family that loves one another and that loves God. Surely they had done all that they could, and nevertheless they found Lazarus died. They learned something that Solomon had learned in Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. For all the medical advances that ever have been made and ever will be made in life, man will not overcome death. In fact, we're told in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26 that death is an enemy. It's an enemy that we're going to face even in our own lives if the Lord does not return first. We will face death. And we will know of this defeat, that no matter what we do, nevertheless, death came. They believe nothing more could be done. Even in the expression of faith that Martha gives in verse 23, that I know, even now, whatsoever thou wilt have asked of God, God will give it thee. I suggest to you there is not a moment in her thought yet that says Lazarus is going to be resurrected today. She's not asking Jesus at that time, if you go and ask, he will be risen again. But simply continuing to show, even in spite of disappointment and even in spite of defeat, I still have faith in you. I still trust in you. I'm still going to follow you. Here they had met the defeat of death. In fact, she says, as Jesus says in verse 23, he shall rise again. Martha says, yes, of course, I know that he shall rise in that last day. The defeat is shown, and she does not expect to see him again until that resurrection day. Death won. So they knew defeat. And yet Jesus speaks of the future. He speaks of the future living again. Verse 23, and he shall live again. Death would seem to be in control. Probably most everyone in this room has met death in their lives, not in their personal life. But someone close to you has died. And a feeling of absolute helplessness and a loss of control can sweep over us. And yet Jesus is there as a reminder, even when death seems to be in control, I, as God, am still in control. Jesus is going to show His power over death. And so there is comfort in spite of disappointment and in spite of defeat. I also want to show you on this occasion the comfort, the compassion of the Savior. One of the shortest, or the shortest verse, at least in our English translations, John 11 and verse 35. Jesus wept. He had asked, show me where you've laid him. We're going to revisit this sentiment in just a moment. I don't know all that is going through Jesus' mind. I'm going to at least suggest to you there is a part of Jesus that is now knowing the disappointment and separation and the effect of death. That he feels the pain and the agony, the grief that they also are going through. As we as Christians, as ones that love one another, are we not instructed in Romans chapter 12 and in verse 15 to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with them that weep? And he was sharing here in the grief that the others are experiencing. He knew that defeat. Yet nevertheless, he was going to triumph. Reminded also of Hebrews 4 and verse 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knew the disappointments and the grief and the pain and agony of life. He knows the things that we endure, and He suffered them even personally. And so as He's standing there, as He's approaching this grave, even He wept. He cried as He approached the grave of a dear friend. And so there is comfort in that time of loss. Even though things seemed defeated, even though they were disappointment, nevertheless He was still in control. I'm also going to suggest to you this was not just a statement of platitudes, a statement of some future hope. This was a statement of power. Look again in verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 11, and also verse 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Break that down into two different parts. There is a statement of fact. I am the resurrection and the life. And the result of that, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. There's your statement of fact, but it's combined here with a question of faith. Do you believe it? Martha, you know who I am. You've seen the things that I have done. Do you believe the statement that I have just made? Jesus wants us to know something about Himself. It's what all of these statements do. They reveal to us Jesus Christ. They show us who He was. And here is a man standing before them that has turned water into wine in John chapter 2. He has healed the nobleman's son who was sick in John chapter 4. He has healed a lame man in John chapter 5. He fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes in John chapter 6. He walked on water in John chapter 6. He healed the man that was blind from birth in John chapter 9. He has already shown them 6 miracles that are recorded for us in the book of John to show us who He was. And now He's about to show us the 7th. That Lazarus would rise again from the dead. He was going to show, yes, even I have power over death. 7 carefully selected miracles of Jesus Christ that show us who He was. And that show us the power that He had over all the elements and aspects of this life. Do you believe me? Those other things that had gone before, they weren't just magical acts or some sideshow that Jesus was putting on. They were for the point and purpose of showing, I am Jesus Christ, I am the Son of God, the One that has come in the flesh. I am the resurrection and the life. Now I've come to raise Lazarus from the dead. Do you believe me? Is not this the central message of the gospel? This is the one that, as we looked at last week, it said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep, John 10 and verse 11. And also in verse 18, He said, No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Do you believe that He has the power of life and death within Himself? Here He goes further and He asks, Will you trust in me? I'm going to show you that I have that power. Who is the one that you believe in? If not the one that is able to raise the dead, then do you have any hope at all? Why follow me? Why live the Christian life? Why deny yourselves of certain things in this life if I don't have the power of life and death and if there is no hope of an eternal life after this one? Here, Jesus Christ is giving us further proof of exactly who He is. That He is the one that is going to die. He is the one that is going to be buried. Yet He is the one that will rise again on the 3rd day according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. A fact that was testified of by many witnesses, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5 through verse 8. Do you believe that I am He? I'm the one that I'm asking you to trust in me. I'm the one who has already said, I will be put to death and rise again on the 3rd day. Do you believe that I have that power? I'm going to show you that power. It's Jesus here that was made the seed of David according to the flesh. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Romans 1, verse 3 and 4. There was the final testimony, the witness. Yes, indeed, this is the Son of God. The one that we can believe in. The one that we can trust. And it's He that assures us of our own resurrection. As Paul is writing there in 1 Corinthians 15, he's dealing with the problem in the false teaching of those that said there is no resurrection. He said, then is Christ still in the grave because He's not resurrected and we as Christians have absolutely no hope. But verse 20 he says, Christ is resurrected from the dead. And in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15, he's going to say, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Yes, He does have the power of life and death. He has shown Himself to be the very Son of God. And in Him we have that hope of our own resurrection, for in Him we have victory. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. When He says, I am the resurrection and the life, He is saying, I'm the very power behind these things. Do we believe He has the power to do them? I believe also this may be even in a response to Martha's statement. Martha said in verse 23, Jesus said in verse 23 that your brother will rise again. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Maybe a part of Jesus here that's challenging her statement, challenging her faith, causing it to grow. Martha, what's the power of the resurrection? Is the resurrection at the last day just some event that just happens to occur when the world ends and this just occurs that everybody is resurrected from the dead? Is it just some given fact? Is it just some given event that's spontaneously going to occur? Or is it by the very power of God? And I, as a member of the Godhead, God come in the flesh, John chapter 1 and verse 14, I am the power of that resurrection. It's the power of God that's going to bring forth that final resurrection, and I'm going to show you even that power today that Lazarus will be brought back from the dead. And he will live again. Believest thou this? Let me ask us a question too. Do we still believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do we still believe that it's by the power of God that one day we will live eternally? Do we still believe that those who believe on Him and those that live in Him will have eternal life? That though he were dead, the statement there actually doesn't refer to a condition, it refers to an event. That though I die, even though I meet physical death, do I believe that in Jesus Christ I will live again? Do I believe that He is going to bring about the eternal life that He has spoken of? So a deep question there as He asks, believest thou this? Let me go again to the emotion of Jesus Christ. As He had stated to Martha there, Lazarus will rise again. And she says, I know he'll rise again at the last day. Martha, I am the power of the resurrection and Lazarus will be brought back from the dead. Do you believe this? It's following that statement here that Mary is going to come to Jesus. The same questions, the same doubts, the same disappointment. If you had been here, my brother had not died. And it says, as Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews that were surrounding, comforting them, weeping along with them, Look in verse 33. Jesus looked on all of that. He groaned in the Spirit and was troubled. I believe that, again, gets to the heart of why Jesus is upset. Not just the fact that He here is experiencing even the loss of one that He loves, but I suggest to you, Jesus, before He ever even came here, He knew what He was going to do. He knew what was about to happen. That yes, while He knew the pain of separation here from the one that He loved, nevertheless, He knew He was about to rise again from the grave. He was going to see Him. He was going to live again. But then also combine that here with verse 36 and verse 37. As the Jews have seen Jesus weeping, they said, "Behold how He loved Him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Imagine you're Jesus. You've been on the face of this earth. You've done all these miraculous deeds that we've spoken of. And John records a very limited number of them. He's shown, "Here I am, the very Son of God, and I have power over all of these things." And yet that's as far as it goes. These people believe it could have made Him well. But do they not yet understand? Do they not yet believe that here before them is the Son of God, even the One that has the power of life and of death? It's immediately after that statement in verse 37 where they were asking, "Could He have not made Him well that He had not died?" Look in verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. I'm going to suggest at least a possibility here that part of the emotion that we see by Jesus is because He is surrounded by a group of people that yet don't fully understand and that don't yet fully believe on Him, that He can do these things. Again, I don't know all that's going through the mind of Jesus, but it seems possible that's at least part of what's bothering Him, of what troubles Him here. The half-heartedness of those that had seen all that He could do, and yet they still don't understand He has all power. So Jesus comes to the grave. He has the stone removed, verse 39. And in front of the people that are gathered there, He says in verse 41 and verse 42, "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And I know that Thou hast heard Me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent Me." He prays here to His Father primarily for the benefit of the people that surround Him. "Father, let them know by what they're about to see that I am the very Son of God. And I am who I have claimed to be, and that I do indeed, as the Son of God, have the power to do these things." And He will say in verse 43, "Lazarus, come forth." I heard someone say one time, Jesus had to specify Lazarus, because if He had just said, "Come forth," everybody that was in the tombs would have come forth. There was the power of God. Something the people would have said is absolutely impossible. A man has been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus comes and He says, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus comes forth out of the tomb, and they unbind him and set him free, verse 44 and 45. And once again, Jesus shows He makes no false claim. He was able to do the things that He claimed. He was who He claimed to be. And so finally, I want to suggest to you this statement. "I am the resurrection and the life," was a statement of separation. Because even on this occasion, there were different responses to what the people had just seen. Remember, here was a man that was dead and everybody knew it. In fact, they didn't want to roll away the stone. He said, "Lord, don't You know by this time his body stinketh? It's already been decomposing." Jesus says, "He will live again." beyond all shadow of hope that they have, they see a man come back to life and walk out of the tomb. Man, they knew to be dead. And he had done so because of this man, Jesus Christ, that had just uttered the words, "I am the resurrection and the life." But there are two particular and separate responses. Some harden their hearts. Verse 46, "Some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. And the Pharisees set about even more to try to kill Jesus." Verse 46. Not only that, it's even going to say in verse 53, "From that day forth they took counsel together to put him to death." In John chapter 12, verse 10 and 11, it even says they began to seek opportunity to put Lazarus and Jesus to death. I want to remove the evidence, put it behind us. Here I've shown myself to be the very Son of God, the one with power over life and death, and yet there are some that rejected it. There were some that hardened their hearts and did nothing with it. But thankfully, there were others. Some would believe and have life through His name. Verse 45. "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him." Wasn't this the reason He was doing these things? Wasn't it the reason that it was recorded for us? He was making Himself known, revealing His will, His nature, His compassion, His power for all of us to see. And again, John says in John 20, verse 30 and 31, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples." This is but a small subset of the things that Jesus did. "But these are written that you might believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." The question then comes to all of us, what will we do? There was a statement of separation. Some believed unto eternal life, but some hardened their hearts and turned away from Him. Some rejected the evidence that was set right before Him. Will you believe Him? And as He says there in John 11, verse 25 and 26, will you live in Him? Continue to follow Him, be faithful, that you might have the eternal life of which He speaks. One final thought. Lazarus came again from the grave. But he was going to die again. There was going to be a day he would meet physical death. But Jesus speaks of a resurrection that will last forever. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5, verse 28 and 29. There is coming a day in which all that are in the graves will rise again, either unto life or unto eternal destruction. What will our choice be? Will we turn to the one that says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, he that liveth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live"? Do we want to live for eternity? Will we follow Jesus? Jesus, as it were, still asks us the same question today. Believest thou this? Do you believe He has the power of life and of death? Do you believe that He is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that He is the very Son of God that did the things that we read about in this book? And then the question comes, will we follow Him? It's ultimately the choice. We harden our hearts and turn away from Him, or we decide even today, "I will follow Him all the days of my life." And having heard the gospel and believed it, I repent of my sins and confess Christ, baptized, immersed in water for the remission of my sins, to be added unto the body of Christ, the church that He died for and that He promised to save. Jesus also says, those that live in me. Will we continue faithfully even unto death? That we might receive that crown of life. We might live with Him for all of eternity. That's His invitation today. Believest thou this? What will you do with it? Make that decision, and if need be, let it be known as together we stand and as we sing.